Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Acts. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Start out and go south on the road that leads down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road." And Philip set out and was on his way when he caught sight of an Ethiopian. This man was a eunuch, a high official of the Kandake, or queen of Ethiopia, in charge of all her treasure. And he had been to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage and was now returning home, sitting in his carriage and reading aloud from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go and meet the carriage." When Philip ran up, he heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the man said, "How can I without someone to guide me?" And invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. The passage he was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb that is dumb before the shearer. He does not open his mouth. He has been humiliated and has no redress. Who will be able to speak of his posterity? For he is cut off from the world of the living." "Please tell me," said the eunuch to Philip, "who is it that the prophet is speaking about here, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began, and starting from this passage, he told the good news of Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. "Look," said the eunuch, "here is water. What is to prevent my being baptized?" And he ordered the carriage to stop. Then they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up from the water, the Spirit snatched Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way, rejoicing. Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. This morning's gospel circles back to one of Scripture's most powerful preoccupations, the power of tribe, of which Scripture understands there can be any number of versions, good ones, bad ones, and many more, for which it isn't so clear what word, what proper descriptor you're supposed to supply. Those are the ones that probably come closest to most of the tribes that we know. In our context, tribalism, which you sometimes hear about, is a way of talking about insularity, and when we talk about tribes, we are almost always being metaphorical. But in other contexts, in other periods of history, people talking about tribe tend to mean it far more directly. But the metaphor is no less powerful for all that, because belonging and not belonging are so close to the bone for so many of us. We were not made to be independent operators and can't really function as such for very long. Or anyway, most of us can't. You may have read last year about a man who has apparently been the hermit caretaker of a small island off of Sardinia. He's been doing it since about 1984, supervising the safety of a beautiful place that apparently nobody else is supposed to go, but which somebody owns anyway and cares about, sort of. It's not entirely clear how it all originally came together, but apparently the hermit had started out from Sardinia in a little boat back in 1984 with plans to sail solo all around the world, but it didn't turn out to be much of a plan, I guess, because he didn't get that far and hadn't planned for a lot of contingencies that you would think a person sailing around the world would plan for. I would think that would be an important thing to do, but, you know, there you go. So he had some sort of boat and, you know, there was an issue a couple of days out, and he made it to this little island, and it's there that he has stayed since 1984. And the original owner, I guess, hadn't thought much about the liability of having people wash up on his island the way that this guy had. So he decided just to let the guy stay and to make sure that he was there in case anybody else washed up, so there was someone there to tell him to beat it. And this has suited the hermit just fine. Any aspirations that he might have had to seeing the world apparently evaporated as soon as he arrived on the island, which makes me wonder what the boat issue must have been. In any case, now it seems the island has been sold. And the new owner has apparently decided that the hermit is getting a little long in the tooth to be chasing people away, which from the hermit's point of view, of course, was part of the point. But now the new owner is looking to evict him. Well, the hermit was prepared to be philosophical about this. But apparently others are not. And when the news first broke last year, the Sardinian internet went bananas. There are Facebook groups. There are crazy comment sections at the tail of every story that appears in the paper. There are those emails circulating where everyone who's over 40 hits reply all and you wish they hadn't, but you get sucked in anyway. It's big news. And people are, of course, rooting for the hermit. And his freedom to go on doing his own thing, whatever that thing is. Even a hermit can turn out to have a tribe. More poignantly, there are people who feel like hermits, I think, except without a beautiful island or any sort of decision to stay there. There are people who feel marooned where they are or marooned in who they are. People for whom any sense of family or tribe, any notion that others can know what they're going through or care, just seems impossible to imagine. And it seems to me that the Ethiopian eunuch in today's scripture might have been someone like that. If you dig a little deeper into the story, it seems clear that he was a curious combination of insider and outsider. There were any number of tribes to which the eunuch seemed to sort of belong, but none in which they squarely did. That's where the gospel comes in. But just to get a sense of how the story sets this up, let's start with this idea of an Ethiopian eunuch. A lot of people hear that and go, okay, Ethiopia, I know where that is, or maybe, I can look up where that is again and remind myself. Most people hear eunuch and they're like, okay, I totally know what that is. But it turns out that back in the day, these were more general terms. Ethiopia could mean any number of countries in sub-Saharan Africa. And a eunuch could mean something as simple as an unmarried adult man or someone not attracted to women or what have you. It was a social and cultural category even more than it was a kind of physiological descriptor. In any case, what we're told is that this eunuch has done well, very well. They serve as the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. And yet, even with that high position in the court and all that comes with it, the eunuch is still an outsider. Somehow, they have understood themselves to be Jewish, which most everyone around them at the court would not have been. And I hear in that a kind of longing. I hear in that a way of finding solace in a God who isn't from where you are from. Perhaps because for all your success, you don't consider yourself to be quite from where you are from either. the biggest office in the world, the most bespoke tailoring in the world, Bill Gates on speed dial, whatever that might have looked like for the eunuch, it really wasn't all that much. The eunuch felt marooned. And so imagine what it would have meant to have decided to step into a chariot and travel to the temple, to pack your suitcase, call Citibank, make sure it doesn't decline a whole series of out-of-town purchases, tell the charioteer to plan the route, to go to the queen, and tell her, "Your Majesty, I'm sorry, but there is just this thing I have to do." What is that thing exactly? In the Jewish tradition, the final toast of the Passover table is to say, "Next year in Jerusalem." It's a dream of return. And the eunuch seems to know something about that dream of belonging. The ancient hymn book of Israel, the Book of Psalms, has particular songs to sing as you travel upward toward Jerusalem, some of the most joyous of the Psalms. And you can just imagine the eunuch's heart soaring as the chariot ascends toward this place of which they've dreamed, toward which they've prayed for so long. Except there's one thing that the eunuch seems not to have known. Because eunuchs were not permitted in the Jerusalem temple. And it didn't matter to have come all that way. It didn't matter to have newly minted money to spread around to grease the wheels. It didn't matter to have wanted it, to have needed it so much. It didn't matter to be one of the faithful. There was not room for someone like that. And so our scripture takes up the story when the eunuch is sadly rolling home, sadly looking for some consolation in a Bible that seems suddenly unable to speak to them much at all. What seemed so clear turns out not to be so. But you know, this is the moment when God acts. This is the moment when God's hand comes down. The stories of when Jesus was baptized describe a moment when the heavens open and a voice is heard and a dove, the symbol of healing and wholeness and peace, the symbol of God's shalom, descends. And for me, that's what happens for the eunuch when Philip appears and runs alongside the chariot and manages somehow to talk his way right up onto the platform. God's hand comes down. Shalom descends. And somewhere in this conversation with Philip, the eunuch hears that voice that Jesus heard, that voice that says, "You are my beloved child. In you I am well pleased." And the eunuch in that moment knows they didn't find their tribe. It's that after all this time, after all this journey, at the wit's end of their longing, finally, their tribe has found them. Their God has found them. Church, we all know what it is to be lost, to feel lost, to feel marooned, maybe even to be a hermit against our will. But the voice of the gospel is the voice that tells us that somewhere out there, God is looking for us. Somewhere out there, the tribe of God's people is looking for us. For all the ways that people tell us we don't fit, or the ways in which we know in our hearts that where we are is not where we belong, there is the Spirit that says, "I've got you. You're mine. You belong with me. And our people are on the way. Just hang in. Just hang on. We're coming. Because in the world that Jesus teaches us to look for, even a hermit can have a tribe, and even a sinner can have a savior. And everything the eunuch had gone out hoping and searching for came to be found, though in the most unexpected and wonderful of ways. Because in God's world, there's no sheep so lost that they can't be found. God is out on the roads, and God's people are out on the roads looking, making it so that everyone knows they are a beloved child, with a claim on God's attention and a place in God's heart, making sure that everyone knows they have a place in God's world. This is the good news that we are called by that same God to hear for ourselves as a message for us. And as we move out along the road in the days after Easter as God's people, it is the good news that we are called to share with a world that is out there, waiting to be found. Amen.